Luke 12:22, po Luci 12:22 stih i dalje. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. These few verses I desire that we read. And now, I would like to share a few words with you before we kneel down to worship our Lord in prayer and thanksgiving and praise to his name. When the Lord said, take no thought or do not worry, don't load yourself with a burden of worries and fears and so on, he didn't say, be negligent. He didn't say don't labor for your daily bread. He did not say that in our needs we should pretend that everything is just all right and there is no need. And do not show your grief or your fear and so on. No, the Lord told us to focus on his help, his power. And that's what I would like us to do now. Let us kneel down and turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the times of old, thou hast blessed the fields and vineyards and orchards and flocks and the people of Israel, so that all of that they had, that they received from thee, of the multitudes of thy blessings, they would bring unto thee the first fruits of everything, to acknowledge that all the good things and the blessings come from thee, O Lord. So we pray, O Heavenly Father, that our prayers, our thanksgiving, our praises, that everything be the first fruits, that everything be, O Heavenly Father, the best of all that thou hast given to us, as an acknowledgement that thou art God of goodness and mercy, that thou art God of true holiness. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou lead us in our prayer. May thy Spirit guide us and fill our hearts with love and gratitude for all that thou art giving and providing, O Lord. Thou fill our souls with peace and joy. And for that purpose we pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou forgive us every weakness, shortcoming, mistake, trespass, every disobedience, O Lord. Those that we see and know, those that we regret we ever committed, and those that we are ignorant of. O Heavenly Father, thou reveal to us everything that is not pleasing to thee in our daily walk, and thou, O Lord, give us grace to acknowledge before thee and to repent, and to seek thy forgiveness, and to receive thy new mercy, thy new grace, O Lord. O Heavenly Father, we pray that thy goodness and thy mercy, thy forgiveness be so abundant and so complete in our hearts that we may also willingly, joyfully forgive the others around us and those that are far away. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for the few of us that are here gathered around thy holy word, and for all thy children and thy people that are scattered around, that are all over this earth. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou purify our thinking, emotions, affections, and that thou, O Heavenly Father, make our souls free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pollutions of the world, influence of the evil spirit, and the teachings of the world, O Lord. Thou make us free, O Heavenly Father, from doubts and fears, ignorance and superstition. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, cleanse out, away from us, every bitterness, wrath, vengeance, envy. And thou give us, O Heavenly Father, that new life in Christ in its fullness. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit, Lord, Spirit of obedience, faithfulness, and zeal for thy will. And in our daily walk, O Heavenly Father, may the name of Christ be exalted and thy holy name glorified. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thou hast that power and that grace to do it. Make us humble, that we walk in meekness on the path of righteousness. Make us, O Heavenly Father, quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, that we may hear the voice of thy Spirit, that we may understand the teaching of thy holy word, and that, O Lord God Almighty, we may receive thy blessings of multiplying the fruits of the Spirit. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that even today, in these last days, thou would manifest the power of thy Spirit through the obedience and faithfulness of thy people, through the love of thy children. Thy love in our hearts, O Lord. We pray that today thou wouldst again heal the sick, strengthen the weak, comfort the sad, and, O Lord God Almighty, cause the sound of the gospel to be heard all over the earth, and thou raise the dead. O Heavenly Father, make us steadfast in that hope, looking forward to that glorious and blessed day of thy coming. Have thou thine victory in our hearts, thy truth in our minds, and true godliness in our daily walk. Teach us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and may our souls overflow with praise and adoration to thy holy name, O Lord. Grant us thy holy word, feed us. May thy message flow like the living water, like the river of grace that was revealed in the prophecy that flows from the throne of thy glory and thy majesty and becomes a mighty river. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may thy will be done. May thy kingdom fill the hearts, and may thy name be honored and exalted, for thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Our Lord gave us quite a few examples, or should I say lessons, of our conduct, how we should walk on the path of righteousness and not be confused nor distracted with misunderstanding or ignorance or any way, any form of darkness that the enemy would like to cause to happen in our hearts, in our minds. And then from the verse 22 he says, therefore I say, so in order to get more of the meaning, what is that therefore, we would have to go through the preceding verses, which I think we will have to do in our private time, because this time is rather limited, and what is even more limited is my ability to in a short span of time say as much as our Lord did. Often he would say just a sentence, just a few words, and there was a whole sermon in his words. Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. About putting on something that might not be in the focus of these words, I remember when we were, or at least I was, and probably some others did, thinking and considering what would be the proper raiment and clothing for godly people. And looking out on the market, just couldn't find something that would be suitable. And then searching and striving and laboring for that, it turned out that that modesty was so costly that there was a question, is it modesty anymore? It's not an easy thing. Every beginning seemed to be very difficult. If we try to swim against the stream, it's not an easy thing. And yet, the Lord gives his help to those that are persistently seeking his help. How can we not to think about our life? The Lord is not asking us, I believe, that he's not asking us to be thoughtless, to just carelessly go through this life and do nothing and just trust that the Lord will take care of everything. Well, he will take care of everything as long as we follow his word. He didn't say we will not have difficulties, we will not have suffering, we will not have grief. Obviously, we have all of that. And those that were ahead of us often had much more. What he said here, I think, that once we have done what is our part, once we use the strength that he has given us, the opportunities that he has brought our way, once we had labored as much as is reasonable, and sometimes perhaps we did more, maybe sometimes not sufficiently, but as long as we did take care of everything that we know we should take care within the limits of our ability and with the help of the Lord, we should not load our minds with the worries. If I plowed the field, I sowed the seed, I should not worry whether or not there will be rain, because either there will be or there will not be. My worries, my fears will not do anything. Another thing that comes through worries and fears is that we suffer much more than we would have to suffer. If a time of famine, starvation will come in a few years, and we know about that, as the people knew that immediately that time will start in the days of Elijah, or they knew that it's coming after a number of good and fruitful years, as in the days of Joseph, the son of Israel, the son of Jacob, I mean. If they start worrying and grieving about that through the seven fruitful years, they would have suffered much more than they had to suffer. So, what is the Lord telling us, I think, that we take one step at a time, and one day by day, day after another, one day after another, and that along the way we continue in prayers and reliance upon His help, His provisions, His will. Now, if something hurts, can we think something else and not to think about that? I don't think so. When we think about that beggar Lazarus, hungry, sick, naked, forgotten, neglected, left to die in his sickness and starvation. Could Lazarus think something else in so much that he does not feel hunger? I wonder. I would think that he could pray so much that his hunger become easier to go through. The Lord said that the life is greater than the needs for that life. Or should I read this verse? The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. God has given us life, so everything else is not as big a gift as the gift of life. And if He knows how to give us life, He knows how to help us through everything else and to give us everything else that we need. But what if I have to suffer hunger? We can pray for the Lord's help. It's true that the Lord said in your prayers, do not ask what you shall eat and what you shall put on and so on. That's what the Gentiles are seeking and asking in their prayers. When we pray for the needy, do we have that in mind too? Is that against the will of the Lord? I doubt that. I think it's all right to pray that the Lord will provide for those that are in need, especially if we cannot help them. If we can help a needy person, and we pray that the Lord would provide and we do nothing, that prayer is not sincere, I think. So, the needs of this life are a concern. And yet, the Lord does not want us to live in fear, in worry of something that might happen and might not happen. Just leave it in the hands of the Lord. When we have an obvious need, and when that need is pressing and it's difficult, we come with our needs before the Lord in prayers. And we seek reliance, strength, spiritual strength and guidance and strengthening in our faith in the Lord, that we can go through that focusing on the Lord, relying on His help. The Lord says that the ravens do not sow, they don't reap. They don't have storehouses nor barns. See, that question of future is often pressing hard on our mind. And when we have the most necessary things, then somehow we don't worry that much. How do we know that our house will not be on fire next moment? How do we know that the lightning is not going to strike? Something might happen. But if we think about that and we worry about that, isn't that questioning or doubting the will and the intention of the Lord? So, the Lord says that God takes care of the ravens. Well, don't they die? Of course they do. Are they not hungry sometimes? I would think so, otherwise they wouldn't be looking for food all the time. So we will have needs, we will have difficulties, but worries and fears are often a weapon in the hands of our enemy to drain our strength, to make us feeble. to make us fearful, unable to be faithful and strong witnesses for the Lord. Lazarus, the beggar that I mentioned earlier, he was a strong witness for the Lord. Just by being neglected and forsaken there, he was a strong witness for the Lord. He was not subject, or he was not, he did not surrender his life to fears and worries. He was suffering. Paul the Apostle said that he suffered so much. And yet he didn't say that as a complaint, rather as an example and encouragement for the others. It might be easier for me to share these words with you because I don't feel any suffering at the moment. But when we think about Job, for example, he suffered so much. And yet, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But then, suffering is multiplied. And the Lord, the servant of the Lord, Job, is still patient, very patient. And then he cursed the day of his birth. He said, "I wish I was never born. It's so hard. It's so difficult." And yet, in his suffering, he still relied on the Lord, and he said, "I know that the Lord does not forget his creatures." But when his friends, now that comes as a probably very, very difficult part of suffering. His friends, perhaps his fellow believers, I would think, those that should have been an encouragement to him, they try to find a remedy. They try to find what is the reason. Because Job is suffering and we are not, he must be guilty of something. What a misunderstanding. It was an awful thing to do. And when we see someone suffering, whatever that is, our duty, O Christian, love and loving kindness, is not necessarily to find the answer or the reason why someone is suffering, but to encourage everyone to rely on the mercy and help of the Lord. And the Word of God is teaching us to remember those that suffer difficulties as if we ourselves were in their body. So I think, well, I know from my experience, I never remember those that are suffering as much as if I was in their body. So there is never too much concern, never too many prayers, and never too much care from us to those that are suffering now. And probably something as a summary, the final lesson or the conclusion of this teaching we find in the verse number 25. "Which of you, taking thought or worrying, fearing, can add anything? Can help in any way? It's just impossible. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least by these worries and fears, why take ye thought? Why do ye labor in such a way and waste your strength and your time and disturb your peace by your worries?" And then the Lord said that not only God has provided the basic needs as for the ravens, giving them food, but also the Lord has adorned our life with some beauty of His own. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, such short duration and then no eternal future, and yet God has given such a beauty to that grass, to the lilies of the field, how much more will He clothe us, O we of little faith? I'm just trying to understand as the Lord said. So what is little faith and what is a full or complete faith? In the little faith, man can labor in worries or go to the other extreme, be careless, negligent. In a mature faith, we do all that we can and then rely on the Lord. And then he said, seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. What is that? Obviously we don't doubt, wondering, are we going to need some food? We know we will need. We know that we need it every day. Are we going to need some clothing? Of course we will. But when we do what is necessary, then that doubtful mind will question, will God do what He promised? Will He take care of His people? And the Lord said, do not. And our prayers and our strife in our daily walk should not be with the focus on the material, physical things, things that will not last longer than this life on this earth. So what does that mean? I should not go out and do my chores and my work? No. It's an entirely different attitude of a godly person. All that I do, I should do for the Lord. Why do I eat food? To serve the Lord. Why do I need clothing? To serve the Lord. Why do I need even the storehouses or some storage space? To serve the Lord. When I eat, I'm not putting myself as an example, but what I want to say, each one of us, or let's say when a Christian, a godly person, is eating, drinking, clothing, washing himself, resting, that's not his private life. And now comes Sunday, now I give something to the Lord. No. Our life should not be divided. We eat and drink and we wash and we clothe and we do all the physical and material things because we have that one spiritual relationship. We are the children of the people. Everything should be holy. Everything is sanctified by the prayer and the word of God, and everything belongs to the Lord. So it's proper for us to do the necessary things. Every day should be the Lord's day. Does that mean that 7 days a week and perhaps 12 hours or even 24 hours every day we just sit down and we read the Bible and we say our prayers and we say a few songs and so we live for the Lord and for no one else? No. Living for the Lord includes prayers and thanksgiving and praises and reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. But the the very important part of living in Christ is the application, walking in the Lord, using these words and living that way. Did our Lord Jesus eat? Yes, he did. Did he drink? Of course he did. Did he have clothing? Yes, he did. And he wants us to have all of that, but not to burden ourselves with fears and worries. There is another very significant part of human life. We don't always worry and fear whether we will have the basic needs, but whether we will have as much as the family next door. If we could cast away vanity and pride, the life would be much more simple, much easier. So what if the next family or the next person has more and better? Let it be. If the Lord gave that to him, may that be one of his blessings. That's all right. And so what if I'm poor and my neighbor is wealthy? Let it be. Praise the Lord. Those often those that are poor and even uneducated, the Lord made rich in faith. And how many are wise and highly educated and extremely wealthy among the people of the Lord? Not very many. And yet blessed are those that have material possessions and they serve the Lord and use it to serve the Lord. We need not fall into that other snare which Satan would like to prepare for us, that if I am poor and a brother of mine in the Lord is wealthy, to think that, no, he cannot be as faithful as I, because how can he have more than I have? Really, he doesn't have anything, I don't have anything. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's possession, the Lord's property. He just appointed me to be a steward over a little and him to be a steward over more. Let everything be used to serve the Lord. So, when we seek the kingdom of the Lord, he will deliver us from vanity and pride. A multitude of unnecessary fears and worries is eliminated, and we are free in the Lord. Even free to be poor if necessary, and free to be wealthy in earthly possessions if necessary, if the Lord has appointed that to us. But if we are poor, or even if we are sick, if our health is poor, if our strength is feeble, or if we are aging and we see that it seems that everything is going slipping out of our hands and the others have power over us. We just cannot walk anymore. Cannot take care of ourselves. Still everything belongs to the Lord. And in our need, we cry to the Lord. Within the frame of our ability, we labor and serve the Lord. But we seek the kingdom of God. Let the Lord rule in abundance, in famine, in wealth, in poverty. Let the Lord rule in health and sickness, in every situation. God's will be done. I think often nowadays how many people are hungry for miracles. If the Lord would just do today what he did when he multiplied bread and fish meat and fed thousands. Well, let's think about those miracles that are considered the greatest. When he rose someone, Lazarus was dead, his body was dead in the grave, fourth day today, and the Lord returned Lazarus back to this life. Was that a privilege or a sacrifice? was a faithful, godly person happier back in this life or to be with the Lord in eternity? So, I think that the greatest miracle of all that is still going on today is believing the gospel, trusting the Lord, and just walking in the steps of the Savior. And that brings peace to our life, to our heart. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when the Lord said, all these things shall be added unto you, did he say, you will never be hungry? None of my disciples will be poor? Not necessarily. We read in one of the epistles that some of the faithful ones were hungry and naked, destitute, and they suffered so much, yet they had that the most important of all gifts and blessings and miracles, the kingdom of God. A very comfortable, even joyful words in the verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If that is our, since that is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, then let us rejoice in his kingdom and encourage one another to walk on that narrow and righteous path. Let us pray that each one of us would be a good example, humbly walking on the path of righteousness to that wonderful heavenly glory. When the Lord said, sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Is the Lord contradicting himself? I don't believe so. He is saying that we should not fear, we should not worry, and yet he tells us there are thieves. They can steal, they can break through and take away what you believe you have. When he said, sell that ye have, and give alms, we remember that in the days of the apostles, the disciples did sell everything and they brought everything together and so on. But then, when we look into the case of Ananias and Sapphira, when Peter talked to Ananias, he said, when the field was thine, was that not in thy power? And even when you sold it, it was in your hands. So, I think that we can learn, not all the disciples were left, or not all of the disciples sold everything and gave alms, and they had nothing. For where were they breaking bread every day? They were in somebody's home. Or were they in the homes of the unbelievers? I wouldn't think so. When the Lord is saying this, yes, to some of the disciples that was said literally. They did sell everything and it was the will of the Lord. And to the others, he said, as he said in the story of the great pearl, the pearl of great value, a man found that in the field and he went and he sold everything and he purchased that field. So what we have should be all sold out for the Lord, all given for the Lord. If we sell everything, then it's not ours anymore. And then he said, give alms. Why do we give alms? Why should anyone give alms? just to give that I should sell and not keep as my possession to become the possession of somebody else? Not necessarily. Let everything be channeled to serve the gospel of the Lord, that the truth of the Lord would reach the others and be manifested in our daily walk. Seek the kingdom of God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our father Abraham was wealthy, yet he was seeking the city that is not built by man. And that brother Lazarus was very poor, yet he was seeking the city that was not built by man. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. In the preceding verses, the Lord said, do not worry, do not fear. In these verses, he said, do not be idle. Without fear, without worries, we should be always busy serving the Lord. And even our physical rest should be serving the Lord. He said to his disciples after they returned back, and they said, Lord, I'd like to paraphrase that and say, everything is so wonderful and thy word is so powerful and Satan has no power against thy word. And the Lord said, come ye alone, privately, and rest. So part of the gospel is labor and part of the gospel is rest, and all together is the gospel in application. May the Lord bless his word and give to each one of us and to those that might be listening to the copy of this message and sharing of the word of God according to each soul's need, so that in our daily walk our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be exalted, honored, worshipped, praised, and the power of his Spirit manifested, that we really walk as those that are not striving for this life, but rather for the life in Christ, the life that has the promise of blessed eternity. And to our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to that Holy Spirit that is guiding and correcting, teaching and protecting us from our hearts, glory and honor, worship and praise forever. Amen.